Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, here till 5 a.m. Glad to be back. It's Wednesday, but we're not doing Wild Card Wednesday because Dan Sugar is not here. And we will be doing Fly Jams Friday, though, when DJ Longfellow is in for Dan Sugrue. That's all coming up. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. You can call us or text us anytime you want during the show. I did pick up a cold, by the way. I don't know if you can tell. I did during the break. I went through a lot of tissues, blew a lot of noses, because I have more than one, in case you didn't know. But yeah, you can probably hear it in my voice a little bit. But anyway, I'm glad to be back. And and I would also like to welcome back to the show right now a psychotherapist and clinical hypnotherapist. She's been on the show many times, and we wanted her to join us on this new year to talk about New Year's resolutions that people make, and they fail sometimes. And she has some advice on how to make those resolutions stick. Her name is Dr. Karen Phillip, and let's welcome her back to the show. Dr. Phillip, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Nick. Very much of a pleasure to speak with you again.
Yes, always a pleasure. Now, you're in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I certainly am. Yes,
nice and
warm here.
Nice and warm. There you go. Nice and warm there. how did the doctor? How did you get into? We talked about this a little bit before. How did you get into psychotherapy? And was it always an interest of you when you were young?
It was. It was always an interest ever since I was a child. And then life sort of got in the way of studies, and you know, you sort of need to earn money much faster than staying at university for a few years. So I worked for quite a number of years for corporations and also my own businesses. Once my children got a little bit older, I then picked up study again, and that was probably about 25 years ago, and just have kept going. And every year or two, I seem to study something else. I've got a menagerie of qualifications of all sorts of things. But it's great. I love the way it keeps your mind active and really helps you, because in Australia we don't have to pay up front for our tuition like you do in the States. We actually have it on an interest-free, sort of we only pay 3% of our gross income back to the government. So it's wonderful.
Mm. And so what are some of the other interests that you've been studying lately, doctor? What you're spreading out your studies. What are you getting into now? What was the latest?
Well, I studied international family studies, which is a little bit away from counselling, but I've also done, you know, naturopathic nutrition, herbal medicine, I've done sports coaching, I've done, a whole range of things, and I've just written a paper recently that I'm trying to get into a journal of how counsellors develop rapport with clients over the phone, because we're seeing an escalation of phone counselling, both from the, you know, sort of helplines and lifelines, and also just with people calling a whole range of different organisations that they really need help with. So I'm now looking at writing some research and doing some methodology studies on how to improve that. So, yeah, a whole range of different things.
Keeping busy, as always.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us about the hypnotherapy. And people, you know, can actually, via Skype and audio downloads, experience your hypnotherapy sessions. Tell me about how you got into that and how that helps.
Well, it'd be about 12, 14 years ago now, while I was doing counselling, I found so many people, relationships mainly, I do a lot of couples, there was a behaviour within the relationship that was really driving a wedge between the two people. Now, that may have been excess drinking or gambling, it may have been, you know, drugs, it could have been anger, there was a whole range of different things.
Yeah.
And counselling and psychotherapy really doesn't address a lot of that, or if it does, it takes quite some time, and I wasn't prepared to wait that long for my clients. So I started investigating, found that hypnotherapy could be the answer. So I studied that for a few years and found it so incredibly powerful that we can make changes, or people can make changes, and we can support them to make the changes. In an hour or two, we can release trauma from people that have held so much trauma within either past relationships or from abuses that they've experienced as children. They can stop smoking, stop or cut down drinking and gambling almost immediately with hypnotherapy. And I started using that a lot with couples. And then it started to grow, and people would hear about my sessions and come from all over the state. And then my husband said, because I was getting a very long waiting list, and he said, why don't you video it and record it and put it online for people. So that's where my site, Virtual Hypnotherapy, came to be born. And now people from all over the world can download the videos and the audio sessions and use it for a whole range of things, from getting over their fear of flying or needles, to stop biting their nails, to lose weight, stop smoking, a whole range of issues. It's been really rewarding.
That's great. That's really, really great. So you're helping a lot of people, which is just a terrific thing. And some of your recent, now you also keep a blog on your website, which is drkarenphillip.com. Can you tell us about some of the more recent blog posts that you put up?
Well, the latest one, of course, being this time of year, there was a couple. There was one on surviving Christmas with family members that you perhaps may not get along with too well. And then one, of course, on how to set and therefore keep and achieve your New Year's resolution, as over 90% of us set them and fail.
Right.
So
we're going to talk about that.
We're going to talk about
the resolutions in a little bit after we break in a few minutes. But let's talk a little bit about that Christmas one that you posted. The holidays are for a lot of people, the holidays are very stressful. You're talking about, you know, seeing family members that maybe you don't want to see, or it's just there's a lot of pressure to, if you're hosting, you know, there's a lot of pressure to make sure everybody's happy, and you're seeing people that you haven't seen in a long time.
Oh gosh, yes.
What's some of the advice that you put in that blog to help people get through the stress of the holidays?
Well, you nailed it, really, Nick. That it is a very stressful time, not just emotionally, but it's also stress for us financially as well. And then we have the visitors that we may see once a year, and they come along and we've got to be nice to them, and we've got to, you know, sort of welcome them into our home. Some of them don't bring anything. Others are there just to pick a fight or to renew an argument that they may have had the previous year with their relatives. So there's a whole range of things that goes on when there's a mixture of personalities. But it's a matter of just understanding that, you know what, this is one day or a couple of days. These people are also going to go. They are members of the family. I need to be tolerant. I need to be respectful, even if perhaps they may not be. And we're tired and we're stressed. So it's all of these things. And then you throw a bit of alcohol in and, oh, my goodness, anything can happen. So it's a matter of taking control over you. Just because another person may be acting a little bit inappropriately, being a bit loud, obnoxious or whatever, doesn't mean that we have to go down to their level. It means that we can retain the level that we set for ourselves, and hopefully that's a little bit higher, and go, you know what, I'm not going to fall into the argument. I am not going to respond to that inappropriate comment. And by doing that, we can actually cut things off really quite quickly, and therefore, you know, sort of we don't need to get into the same issues that they're trying to drag us into. So, you know, I usually suggest to people, if someone starts something over a dinner, whether it be Christmas or even a family get-together, Thanksgiving or whatever, we just say to them, well, thank you for sharing that. Or we may say, that's a very interesting point. Perhaps we can discuss that at a later time. So you still acknowledge that they've had something to say, but you don't get into it with them at the time.
Right. Right. That's good advice. You help people out in so many different, such a wide-ranging a bunch of topics that you help people with. Like, you also wrote a blog about how to excel at your job interview, which is something that everybody can identify with. Tell me a little bit about that one.
Well, a lot of people, as you know, we change jobs far more commonly these days, if you like, than what we ever used to. So, you know, we would once in our parents' day, we would get a job and we would stay there for, oh yeah, probably ever. But now we average every 3 years or so, we seem to change jobs, which means we've got to set a resume, we've got to get ourselves ready for the job interview, we've got to learn about what the company or the organisation does, which is a big key. We need to learn exactly what they do. We need to learn what their forward planning is. We need to look at what they're wanting to achieve within their own business, how they look after their staff. We need to know who the bosses are, how long the company's existed, where their direction is. So when we're asked in interview many questions, we're showing the interview panel that we're actually quite au fait with the company. It's nothing that we don't know or can't answer. So we need to be seen as part of the team already. And, of course, there's plenty of information within the blog on how to respond to certain questions and the body language that we use and how to take a moment or so, maybe even 10 seconds, to stop and think about a response before you jump in with an answer that you suddenly sit back and think, oh, my God, what did I say that for? Which we've all been guilty of doing because we're trying to answer as quickly as possible. So, you know, there's lots of information about that sort of thing and what to wear. And hopefully we will wear something, if they've got a corporate uniform, we wear a colour of the corporate uniform. So we can be seen as part of the team by the interview panel. So there's a whole range of things that are really quite advantageous to us during a job interview.
Yeah. Now, here's just a general question, because, you know, that's a situation where your nerves can really, you could be very nervous going in for a job interview. Just in general, what are some of the pieces of advice that you have for people who might be in a situation where they're going to be really nervous and you know, filled with anxiety?
Which is quite a common yeah. occurrence. Once we've done our research on the company, once we are feeling comfortable that we know about this company, we know who they are, how long they've been operating, what they're planning, where they're going, then that takes the edge away a lot from us. Then we look at the colours of the corporate, we dress appropriately, and we practice our job interview questions. We write a few down. Many of us know similar questions that they're going to ask us, as many job interviews do. You know, the things like, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? And all these sorts of things. So what we do is we practice those. And the more we practice, then the more comfortable and more confident we'll feel. If we just send in a resume, we get told, yep, you've got an interview, and we just land on their doorstep unprepared. That is when we start to really increase our anxiety and feel, oh, my God, I'm not ready, I'm not prepared. So preparation is the absolute key to anything at all in a job interview.
And you can read all about this, by the way, on her blog at drkarenphillip.com, along with a blog about modern aging, learning teen language, communicating with teenagers, mental illness or emotional overload, and, of course, the Christmas dealing with the holidays. And when we come back, Doctor, we're going to talk about those New Year's resolutions and your advice on
okay.
how to actually keep them, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Karen Phillip is with us, and she is a psychotherapist and a clinical hypnotherapist, and a fascinating woman in general who's just covers so many topics. But we're going to come back because it's a timely one. And a little bit later on, we're going to open up the phone lines and talk about your New Year's resolutions and if you kept them from the past and what you're going to do this year. And we got some suggestions from a couple of articles that we will read. But when we come back, Dr. Karen Phillip is going to talk about those resolutions right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Back on the air. Happy to be back, too. Allstate Skyline Studio here. We're happening, and we're here till 5 a.m. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. And if you would like to call us, you can also text us if you have a question or a comment at any time at 312-981-7200. My guest right now is Dr. Karen Phillip. She is a psychotherapist and a clinical hypnotherapist. You can check out drkarenphillip.com for more information, and you can also check out her hypnotherapy sessions. You can get the audio or the video of them if you're looking to, change bad habits or, you know, get more better sleep. Don't be afraid of flying, that kind of thing. And she's got a blog that she writes about really fascinating stuff. And she's here at this time to talk about New Year's resolutions, which I know a lot of people have made and will have made now, and we'll try to keep going. And let's bring Dr. Phillip back. Doctor, welcome back.
Thank you, Nick.
Now, the average person who makes a New Year's resolution of some kind, ultimately, I don't know what the exact numbers are. You would probably know more than I would. Like say, for instance, they want to stay on there's a certain diet that they're going to do. They're going to lose weight. That's probably would that be number one, doctor, as a New Year's resolution?
It's interesting. It is improving your fitness, losing weight, eating better. That is absolutely number one. It affects all of us.
Yeah. And so, and the average, though, is kind of sad, the number of times people fail at their New Year's resolutions. It's a little discouraging, correct?
It is. Research tells us that more than 90% of us fail. I think it sits on 92% fail. And we fail within the first few weeks, unfortunately. We don't even get, you know, 2 or 3 months down the track. We sort of fail within the first month, certainly by February, is what we're told.
You know, so, but, doctor, there's an interesting number that I had heard. I can't remember where it was, on a television show, where they talk about how everybody who either buys or gets a gym membership for Christmas usually cancel the gym membership by February. That's kind of those are the kind of the numbers, and that's crazy.
It is. It's just, I mean, we all start off with these wonderful intentions, but we usually set, the problem with us is that we often set too many New Year's resolutions. We might go, rightio, this year I'm going to eat better and I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to quit smoking, cut down on drinking, and get more rest. No, none of those are likely to happen. We need to set one main goal. Now, with things like quit smoking, or cut back on drinking or gambling, those sorts of things can be dealt with basically within an hour or two by using hypnotherapy. So they're really, really easy to remove. It's things like your financial, you know, getting out of debt. So things like that, losing weight. They're the things that actually take us longer to do, of course. The short ones, the ones that we can annihilate within an hour or so, stopping drinking, stopping smoking, all of those sorts of things, easy to get rid of, easy as. But it's the longer ones that we struggle with. You know, the eating better throughout the year, getting out of debt, spending less, spending more time with my friends and family. Those are the ones that, unfortunately, we tend to not really stick to after about February.
Now, you know what's interesting, doctor, is that, you know, a lot of people are like, I got to get out of debt, I got to save money, I got to do better with my money. And you make this resolution at a time when all the Christmas bills come in, you know, and it's like really discouraging because a lot of people, their debt increases hugely in January. So that, you know, it probably discourages a lot of people when they go to the mailbox alone.
Well, that's right. We could be starting off for the first 2 or 3 weeks and we feel great and we're not buying all those extra coffees during the day. We're having it in the lunchroom. We're doing all the right things and then we get our credit card statement. And we just melt into our chair and think, I'm so overwhelmed. What's the point? But that's not the way we resolve it. And we can resolve it, but we need to resolve, as I said, one thing at a time. So we need to set the main goal that we desire. So one main resolution, if you like, so we don't overwhelm ourselves and then look to fail it. The next thing we need to do is set a realistic time frame to achieve it. Now, this is what I call the planning stage. So it's like, for instance, say you wanted to lose weight. You know, I'm going to lose, you know, like 20 pounds. Well, no, I'm going to lose 1 pound or 2 pounds a week. That's what I'm planning to do. So we set very small steps. Right. How am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to lose 250 grams every day. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do it by walking around the block twice. And I'm going to do it by not having the bowl of ice cream and not having the milkshake or whatever it is. So we set very, very small steps. In regards to money, it's like I will cut out buying lunch every day. I'll take a sandwich and I'll have coffee from the tea room and that'll save me $10 every single day or $50 a week. $50 a week is $200 a month. Well, we're getting on to a couple of $1,000. So these are the sorts of things that we can do. But we need to set a realistic time frame and plan it. And then the next thing I suggest people do is write it down. And most of us don't do that. Mm. But we write it down and we stick it up somewhere, whether it be at work, whether it be in the visor of your car or on your fridge at home, depending on what it is that you want. If you want to stop, you know, sort of cut back on your eating, then you put it on your fridge or your cupboard. If you want to be mindful of spending, then you stick it on your computer screen so you don't continually e-buy all the time. So there's various little tips you can do, but you leave it somewhere that you can see it and it reminds you. So it stays in the forefront of your mind every day. And then, as I said, the steps that we need to fulfill that goal. Now, if people get onto my Dr. Karen Phillips site, there is a blog called News Resolution, and in that I'm giving away a free ebook to help people set the steps to achieve their goals. Mm. So it's there to download if anybody wants it. But setting the steps is really vital. Just sort of saying, I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do that, really doesn't work for us, hence why 92% of us fail. So I would suggest that those 8% that it does work for have used my ebook and they're sticking to their goal by fulfilling all the steps that they need to achieve it. And we can achieve it once we know how.
Right. And that's available at drkarenphillip.com, and it's free. You can download it. It's an ebook, and it gives you all the advice on and the steps on how you can actually make a reasonable New Year's resolution and achieve that goal. Really great stuff. Doctor, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I think you're great, and you're always a fun guest. And we thank you for giving us such great advice. And everybody can go there to drkarenphillip.com for more information and to download that free ebook.
Thank you so much, Nick, and I do hope your cold gets better very, very soon. Poor thing.
Thank you, Doctor. All right. Take care, okay?
Okay.
All right. There you go. Dr. Karen Phillip, everybody. And she is a psychotherapist and a clinical hypnotherapist, and she's just great. And her website is drkarenphillip.com for all the information, the blog, the ebook, all of that stuff. All right. Now, have you set a New Year's resolution? And how are you doing? What's your New Year's resolution? Have you set New Year's resolutions in the past and actually succeeded with them? As Dr. Phillips said, the number of people who actually succeed at making these big New Year's resolutions, 92% do not succeed at doing that. Have you ever been part of the 8% where you actually did achieve what you wanted to do as a New Year's resolution? And I also have some advice on how you can make your New Year's resolutions more realistic. And we'll talk about that. And our phone number is 312-981-7200. We're talking New Year's resolutions. Do you have one this year? Do you have one or two this year? We would love to hear from you via talk or text at 312-981-7200 on this January 2nd. So those New Year's resolutions have just been made. They're nice and fresh, and we'll see how far people can get and talk about from the past and how you achieved them. And talk about the future and how you will achieve them. And I've got some common advice here. And also some advice on what TV shows you can watch that will actually inspire you and make you feel better about your goal. So it's New Year's resolution time, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We'd love to hear from you.